Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Today I want to share just some on the topic of two responsibilities we have with spiritual knowledge. Number one is to know it. And number two is to share it. And of course, there's other responsibilities we have. But as parents in a Christian family, our responsibility is to know God's word and to share it with each other and with our children. As children in a Christian family, our responsibility is to receive God's word to the end that we know it, we grow up, we stand faithful in it, and later on we pass it along to our children. As believers in the family of God, our responsibility is to know God's word, and it is also to share God's word in our family. It's also to share God's word with the people of this, our day and time, of this generation, if you will, so that others who live at the same time that we live can have the privilege to be able to know God's word like we know. So whether we're in a Christian family and pass the word of God to our children and to other generations, or whether we're in the family of God, and we pass the word of God on to the people of this, our day and time, we are to know it and to share it. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verse 1, somebody sitting on the floor like to read this loud, please. Okay, so God commanded these commandments to teach you and that you might do it, right? So we get taught and then we do it. That, verse 2, that thou mightest fear, respect the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy what? And thy what?
Sons.
All the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. So these commandments were to be known, and they were to be passed on to sons and sons of sons. In other words, the word of God was to be passed down to generations. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that the purpose it might be may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily. Who made that promise?
God.
God sounds pretty good to me. As the Lord thy God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Verse 4. Somebody on the floor, read this one, please. Go ahead. Turn the Bible. Great. Somebody else on the floor, verse 5. Okay, Casey.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy soul, with all thy soul.
Might. Okay, verse 6. Okay, Joshua.
And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart.
Okay, now, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them. The word teach means to rub in by repetition, like a person might sharpen a knife. You know, it takes repetition. You know, in the margin, some of you guys might have the word sharpen. It could also be translated rub in by repetition. It doesn't just happen at one advance in the year 2000. That thou shalt teach, thou shalt sharpen, thou shalt rub in by repetition, them diligently unto thy what?
Children.
And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest what?
Up.
When you're in a weekend in the woods, when you're at home, when you're watching the baseball game, all the time, it's time to what? To teach. All right, verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. And when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of what?
Bondage.
If we're to pass God's word on to future generations, to our sons and to sons' sons, it just doesn't happen with one time. It happens all the time. It's a constant teaching all the time. All the time to get the word of God, you know, into our children. Look at Psalm 78. So parents are to know God's word and to teach it. And the children are to learn the word. Psalm 78. Like one of the teenagers, to read Psalm 78. When everybody gets there. Wait one second. Psalm 78 and verse 1 to 4. Okay, go ahead. A little louder. Okay, in verse 3, these words which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. In other words, they're passing it down. Verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to where?
Children.
Isn't that neat? God commanded them, and they were to make them known to their children. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be what?
Born.
Who should arise and declare them to their what?
Children.
Children. Verse 7, that they may set their hope in God and forget and not forget the works of God, but keep his what?
Commandments.
So the family in the Old Testament, the Christian family today, one of the things that family does is it knows God's word, and God's word is passed down from generation to generation as that word of God is lived and taught in the families. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Somebody have one of those Mother's Day gifts? Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Like a mother to read this. So, okay. Stand up.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also.
Okay, now, Paul was writing this letter, and who was he writing it to?
Timothy.
He was basically the man who took over from Paul. But where did Timothy learn about this believing?
From his mother.
He learned it. Look at this. It says here, when I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy, what?
Grandmother
Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. What a great verse for Mother's Day. And that's the verse on these little gifts that we gave you. What a great idea about a mom. What does a mom do? Yeah, mom cooks good food and does all this. You know what else a mom does? A mom believes God. And that's what these moms did here. And Timothy, a grandson, a child of a child, he became the man that took the place of one of the greatest men of God that ever lived to carry the mystery on to another generation. So that believing was passed on. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 6. If you're tired, the person next to you can practice flicking. See how good they are to develop their technique. Okay, Proverbs 22 and in verse 6. Being a parent and passing the word on to generations, sometimes we don't see quite the immediate results at times that we want. But here's a great verse to think about. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Some parent could read this. Lita, go ahead. Great. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Okay. Now, the book of Proverbs is written from the point of view of a father to a son, and it's for youths. Or as some people say, utes. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The book of Proverbs is written from the point of view of a father to a son, and it's for youths. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Somebody on the floor who's a ute. Okay, Jeffrey, go ahead. By the way, biblically speaking, a youth is how old?
Under 30.
Okay, Proverbs 1:7. Okay, hit it.
Speak up. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Does it say calculus is the beginning of knowledge?
No.
Political science?
No.
What does it say?
Fear of the Lord.
How about baseball practice? Is the beginning of knowledge?
No.
How about jazz or ballet practice is the beginning of knowledge? No. How about... So if I'm a parent and I'm doing all this work to get my child to go to ballet, to get my child to go to jazz, baseball practice, football practice, ballet and football practice combined, all these things, one would think if I'm making that effort to do those things, the first priority I should maybe do is make an even greater effort that my children do what?
Good.
Do good, okay, right? And but they also hear about God's word, isn't it? Because modern dance is not the beginning of knowledge. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. This is really cool. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that you incline your ear. What do you do with your ears?
Incline your ear.
Incline. And what does an ear do besides make wax? The greatest teaching I ever heard about earwax was from Cat Rivera years and years ago about what the body does. Look at this, verse 2. So thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine ear heart to what?
Understand.
Yea, if you cry after knowledge, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search her as for hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the respect of the Lord and what?
Find the knowledge of God.
If we want to find the knowledge of God, look at what it says here, and we're going to get it. Look at how cool that is. How about Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words and incline thine heart unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes and keep them in the midst of thine heart. Attend thine ear means to listen. Let them not depart from thine eyes. That means to look at them. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and what? Does that really mean that?
Yeah.
Health to all their flesh. Have you ever gone to a fellowship or you ever hear a teaching and you're sick before and after the teaching's over you feel a lot better? Health to all their flesh. Verse 23. Somebody on the floor read that. Okay.
Verse 23. Keep the heart with all
diligence. Okay, that's great. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life or the decisions of the will. Whether we're young or whether we're old, we need to keep our heart with all diligence. That means our emotions, that means our feelings, that means the stuff that we get from inside. We got to keep it. Who's responsible for your heart?
You are.
Who is? Each individual person. If you want to give your heart to a person who doesn't want to believe the word, that's your choice. If you want to give your heart to somebody else, that's your choice. If you want to lose your mind, that's your choice, isn't it? Each person needs to control what they think up here or in their heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the decisions of the will. The decisions of the will, that's where you make your deep down decisions. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. If you allow yourself to get into drugs, is it your friend's fault?
No.
Who controls your life? Your friends at school?
They do.
Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. Proverbs 7, verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and thy law as the what?
Apple of thine eye.
Who knows what an apple of thine eye is? Anybody know? It's a what? It's okay. What? It's a pupil. Okay. Everybody take your finger. This little light of mine. No. Okay, now, is the person next to you sleeping? Okay, never mind. Okay, now. Okay, take your finger and poke your eye. It doesn't work, does it? You know why? Who knows why?
Eyelids designed to be.
Right, it's like automatic. What's the medical term? It's instinctive reaction. It is like, oops, there's just no way it's going to happen unless you train yourself by putting contacts in there, which I never succeeded. But basically, it doesn't work, correct? It's automatic. It's automatic. You don't do it because it's automatic. Check this out. Keep thy commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. You keep the word, it's automatic. It's so ingrained as we grow up that you just have such a big habit in life that nobody touches God's word in your presence. You keep his commandments so much, and it develops into such a habit that it's almost automatic. That's having it down deep inside, isn't it? Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, in verse 9. Like an adult to read this. Somebody in the expensive seats. Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. My mistake. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Okay. Okay, so we're to take heed to ourselves and to keep our soul diligently so we don't forget, so we don't forget the things which we've seen, so we don't forget God's word, and then we're to teach that to our sons and sons' sons. Now, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. As parents, we are responsible then to know God's word and to teach it to our children, to our children's children, so it gets passed on to other generations. As believers in the body of Christ, it's our responsibility and joy to be able to share God's word with the people of our lifetime also. If in our fellowships, if we want to have new people, if we want to do the things we want more people in our fellowships. We want to help people. We need to speak God's word, not only to our children, but to the people of our day and time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians. Where is Thessalonians? Okay, 1 Thessalonians. Where's the book of Hezekiah? Old Testament or New? You know, the honest answer is there is no book of Hezekiah. But it does sound like it should be in the Old Testament. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." Paul went there to Thessaloniki. And what country is that in today? Greece, northern Greece. "And for yourselves, brethren, know that our entrance in unto you, it was not in vain." Verse 2. "But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi." What happened at Philippi? Anybody remember? He spent a little time at the Hilton Hotel. Where did he spend some time?
In jail.
In jail. He was put in jail. "We were shamefully entreated at Philippi, but when we came there, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention," or he gave it his all. He was just thrown in jail. He got out of jail, got out of Dodge, and went to a town close by. And then one would think that he would have been afraid to speak the word. But what does it say? He was what?
Bold.
He was bold. And what did he speak? He spoke about the greatness of Harbor Light Fellowship.
No.
The local community church. He spoke about how cool the food was at the camp we were just at. "But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with what?" Oh, I'm sorry, verse, all right. "We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God. They spoke the word with much contention." Verse 3. "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor yet in guile. Verse 4. But as we were allowed of who?
God.
To be put in trust with what?
The gospel.
Even so we what?
Speak.
Not as pleasing men, but God, which what?
Trieth our hearts.
It's a responsibility. It's a privilege. He was put in trust with the gospel. Maybe his trust that he had of the gospel was a little different than ours in that he was the man overall responsible for the mystery. God gave him the mystery, but here in our day and time, we have a knowledge of God's word and the mystery, and we're responsible to speak. Not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. So he went there and he spoke the word, and let's see what happened. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and in verse 5, this is what happened when he went there. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Saw some power, and in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of who?
Us.
Of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and what?
Achaia.
Okay, Macedonia is northern Greece. Achaia is southern Greece. Verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place that your faith to God is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. Paul went there. Listen, Paul went there and they spoke the word to the people in Thessaloniki. That's northern Greece. That's a town in northern Greece. And those people, they spoke the word, and because of that, it went all over Greece. It's kind of like with parents. Parents teach the kids, and then the word gets even to sons, isn't it? In this situation, Paul went there, they spoke the word to the people of that town, and the people of that town spoke it, and it went all over Greece because of what happened. So our responsibility is to speak. We cannot make people believe, but we can speak God's word. In verse 5, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetous, God is witness. He didn't trick them. Nor of men sought we glory. He wasn't in for his ego. Neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nursing mother cherishes her children. He was tender with them. Gave him some TLC. Verse 8. Somebody read that on the floor, please. Okay. Somebody else has it read. Okay.
Being affectionately desirous of you, you were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because we were dear unto us.
Is that love?
Yep.
Look at that. They were willing to have imparted not the gospel of God, but their own souls. Did Paul have some desire that the word of God would move? I know some of you guys are tired. I understand that. The weekend is almost over. But cut me about 15 more minutes of your brain time. Okay? So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also your own souls, because you were what?
Dear unto us.
Did they want the word to move?
Yes.
He wanted the word to move so bad, he'd say, hey, I'm willing to lay down my life for this. If we want God's word to move in our family, sons, if we want the word to move in our neighborhood, we have to have some kind of desire. We have to have that kind of desire. Verse 9. Somebody else read that.
Our Lord and
Was that some work that Paul did also? Sure was, wasn't it? If we want to have great families, great marriages, great families, households, whatever, and see God's word move, God's going to help us and he's going to do a lot of the work, but there's some stuff, there's some effort that we need to put in. We need to do our part. Here it is right here. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Okay. Now, verse 10. For you are witnesses and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Verse 11. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a what?
Children.
He was tender with them like a nursing mother, and he charged them like a father. Verse 12, look at this. Here's a great verse for a Christian family and a great verse for a person who gets another person involved with God's word. That you would walk how?
Worthy.
Of who?
God.
Do we want our children to walk worthy of God? Are we proud of them when they believe God?
Yep.
How about the people we turn on to God's word? Are we proud when they stand for God and walk worthy? Here it is. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and what?
Glory.
Glory. Verse 13. Somebody else read this. Okay, let's try the same time. No, go ahead.
For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, effectually worketh also in men.
When we did this weekend, it wasn't just about, well, certain so-and-so says this or so-and-so says that. It's about God and his word. It's what we want to pass on to our children is what God says. What we want to pass on to the people that live in this our day and time is what God says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. So whether we are Christian parents and we pass on God's word to our children, or children who need to learn God's word so that we stand on it, or whether we're people in the body of Christ who are going to speak God's word, it's still God's word, and we need to know it and share it. If we want to see God's word live in our fellowships, if we want to see tremendous outreach of God's word, it's going to take an effort. It's going to take a bigger effort than some of us have been doing along the lines of planting seeds, along the lines of watering, along the lines of holding forth the word of life. If I want some plants in my yard or some grass, it's good to plant some seed, isn't it? If we want some people to hear God's word, somebody has to speak it. If we want our kids to hear God's word, who has the responsibility?
Parents.
Parents. There's nobody more qualified to teach our children than the parents. Do you know why I know that? Because God gave us the responsibility. We just read that, didn't we? So, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Michael, why don't you read those for us?
Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
We want to commit God's word to faithful people. We want to teach our children to the end that they are faithful, that they stand. We want to be able to teach God's word to the people in our neighborhoods and jobs and whatever, to the end that if they want to, they can stand faithful on God's word. And a close look at Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, we've hit this verse many times. And I trust our understanding of this has grown. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 1. Be ye therefore
followers.
You've done some work up there. All right, adults could talk too. Ready? Be ye therefore what?
Followers
of God.
Of God. That's who we want to. And how do you follow God? Read tea leaves? Follow God by following God's word and his son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear what?
Children.
Isn't it cool? Even your parents are children.
Yay.
As dear children. Walk in what?
Love.
Only when you're away from your house.
No.
Walk in love. As Christ also loved us, our big brother, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. We've had a wonderful weekend, and we've done a lot of wonderful things, and I trust that you guys are real blessed by what we've all learned and seen, and I just want to thank all of you for participating in this weekend, and I'm very thankful to our Heavenly Father and for the privilege that I had to be able to be a part of this. And like Jerry said last night, you know, we're up here, but now that it's over, what we need to do is take what we've learned and develop maybe some new habits and continue to stand on his word and just continue to develop ourselves. Walk in love. God loves us, his son Jesus Christ. Finish the job. All we need to do is to be able to walk in his steps. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the accomplished works of your son Jesus Christ and for the privilege we've had this weekend to learn a little bit more about you and about your word. And Father, I pray for every person here. And I pray, Father, that we can hold your word in our hearts. I pray that we can maintain our hunger and be hungry for you and your word, not only when we're around believers, but when we're not. And I pray, Father, that we can stand on your word and not budge. And I pray that we could stand to the end, that we remain faithful and teach others also. Father, I pray for your word, that it lives in our hearts, that it lives in our marriages, that it lives in our families, and that it lives, Father, in our world, in this our day and time, and that people in our society can come back to you and your word. Father, I'm very thankful for the privilege that we have to know you and to be a part of the mystery and for all that you've done for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so at 11:30, we're going to have pizza in the...